Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Acts 14, and again, just give you a simple thought tonight. We'll try my best, and I know the time. I'm trying to preach all night, and I know we all work tonight, but I do want to help you. Let's look in verse 19. The Bible said, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders into every church and had prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord on whom they believed." If you'd help me pray tonight, Lord, we sure love you. And God, we sure need your help tonight. Lord, this is one of these things you've been stirring in my heart. Lord, even in my own life, Lord, at my church, and God, for honestly, Lord, the last couple days, few weeks, honestly, you've been putting this back in my heart for tonight. And God, I ask you, Lord, to help us. Lord, you know where your people's at, and you know what they need. And God, I ask you, Lord, let me say everything you want me to say. Let me say nothing you don't want me to say. But God, let us see the Lord high lifted up. Let's encourage the saints to go on for you. And Lord, in these last days, God, not to give up, but to put the pedal down just a little longer to get souls in. God, help us tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated tonight. If it's okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of an introduction and then kind of set the stage from where I'm headed. Paul here in Barnabas, in Acts 14, that's who we're dealing with, and he has been took out and stoned, and man, y'all kind of know the story there, but man, we think about the life of Paul. What a man of God, amen. And can I say, the reason you're holding a Bible in your lap tonight is because the work of Paul. I mean, he took it all over the world. But when the Lord saved him there in Acts 9, the Lord even told him that he'd have to suffer many things for his name. Paul knew going into this thing, he was going into a fight. When it started, Paul had the understanding. The Lord didn't mix no words with him. He understood that what he was going to have to do was going to be difficult. It's going to cost him some things. It's going to hurt a little bit. But the Lord wanted him to do it. And can I remind you this morning, I'll touch this a bit longer. I know we like the 23rd Psalm, and we love being the Lord's shepherd, or the Lord being our shepherd and us being the sheep. But can I remind you, we're soldiers of the Lord. We're to carry the cross. We're to carry on the fight. And it's not always going to be easy. Matter of fact, if you're living godly, the Bible says those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I will go as far to say it's probably the reason I'm not persecuted enough is probably because I'm not living godly enough, because the biblical evidence of that is persecution. Is that right? And can I say tonight, Paul knew that. So Paul, he gets saved in Acts 9. He goes, he trains for a while, and around Acts 13, he gets into the Antioch church. They lay hands upon him and Barnabas and send them out, and they're going on a first missionary journey there. Paul gets in Acts 13, he gets to there, he starts to preach it. He gets to preaching about the Lord being the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, man, and the promises. And man, the Gentiles hear that and they want to hear more. The next Sabbath, they're all there. The cities come together and Paul's preaching. Well, here comes some Jews. They don't like that too good. They stir up folks against him. And so you know what happens? He leaves and he takes off to Iconium. And we get to Acts 14, look at verse 1. "And it came to pass, in Iconium they went both together in the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed," right? So here they are preaching, and man, a crowd comes, they get saved. And then they some unbelieving Jews, look at verse 2, "and stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. So a long time before they abode, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony of the word, which is grace, and grand signs and wonders be done by their hands. And watch this. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. So he preaches and he does what he ought to be doing. And you know what happens? There's a lot of folks get saved. There's a lot of folks that ain't saved. Can I say that's no different today? They ain't but two crowds of people in this building tonight, saved and lost. That's it. And here the Jews come. They're upset. And man, they stir up a crowd against him. And what ends up happening, man, is they run them off. They take off and they get out of the way. They're going to stone him. And they run him off and send Paul out the road. Paul takes off. Well, when we get to chapter 19, I want you to notice what happens. Paul is there. He's preaching. He's doing his thing. And here comes a crowd from Iconium and Antioch back and comes and finds Paul. Now, he's left them. He's went to another city. But let's look at this again. Look at verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews. That's that angry crowd from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So they have come. Paul leaves because it's going to stone him. Well, that brother, they've chased him down. They've run him down. They found him again. They've stoned him. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm of the opinion that they killed him. I believe he was resurrected. He was been to the third heaven. I believe that. If you don't believe that, we won't fall out about it. But I know this. These is men right here that have stoned people before. This wasn't something they just picked up on a whim. This was the law. And they stoned him. And they left him supposing he'd be dead. Now look, please don't take this the wrong way, but it's not too hard to stone somebody and realize, well, that's it. He's dead. And they turn around and leave. Now I want you to notice what Paul does. Look at verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around him, talking about Paul, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel of that city, he had taught many. Now watch this. They returned again to Lystra and to where? Iconium. He went right back to the same place them men come to kill him from. I want to preach tonight, just by the help of God, for a little bit on this thought. Just go back. Just go back. I want you to listen to me. The Christian life, I'm just going to preach and be all right. You set me down if I need to. Hey, we don't believe in this modern-day Christianity where, hey, send me some money, and if you live right, you can have a Rolls Royce and a Bentley and a plane, amen? I mean, you can live your best life now. What's that one preacher always saying? What's that crazy name? Hey, down there in Dallas, Texas, or Houston, Texas. Hey, you can live your best life now. I ain't trying to live my best life. My best life's yet to come, amen? If your best life is now, you got a problem. Somebody say amen. But we don't believe in all that. I tell you what I do believe is a soldier of Jesus Christ. There's just going to be some times you're going to have to make up your mind. And it don't matter what's happening to you. That you're just going to go back. I mean, God called Paul to preach. God told Paul he was going to suffer. God told Paul, hey, he was going to have to do a great work in his name. And if Paul quits, none of that happens. But you know what? Paul just went back. Amen. Listen to me tonight. You're going to have to go back, number one. Go back in spite of the hostiles. I mean, listen to me. I know these folks out there that don't like us, and that's okay. Please don't take this the wrong way. It was a good day in my life when I realized that my ministry wasn't for everybody. Is that all right, Pastor? I mean, I'm serious. It was a real good day when I was quit worrying about what everybody thought on the internet, what everybody was going to say, if they liked me, if they didn't like me. Hey, here's the difference. I just learned that I'd rather please God than please man, right? Not everybody enjoys it. But can I say, here's Paul, and they've literally came to kill him, and they've left. But you know what Paul does? He goes right back in spite of all of it. Do you not think they're going to try it again? Do you not think they could hurt him again? Do you not think they might kill him again? Listen, it didn't matter to Paul. He just went back. I'm going to tell you, friend, listen. You say, preacher, what do I need to do? Here's what you need to do. You need to go back to your Bible. Go back to your prayer closet. Back to visitation. Back to the house of God. You just got to keep on soul with it. Keep on going back and keep on going back. And you say, well, what if they don't like it? Well, just go back. You say, preacher, I'm just getting tough. Just go back. It don't matter what they think. I've had people be real rude to me on visitation. But I'm going to tell you something. Come next Saturday, Brother Danny, 9:30, I'm going to be there. We're just going to go back. Is that all right? I've had folks not like me. They've cussed me out. They've said things to me. And you say, do you like that? No, I don't like it. But can I tell you something? Hey, Saturday morning, 9:30, we're going back. There's been people mad and left the church. They didn't like some stances I took on. That's all right. Come Sunday morning, brother, you know what? I'm going back. And Sunday night, I'm going back. And Wednesday night, I'm going back. I mean, listen, I'm talking about I took a stand at churches before. That's how I got here, because I wouldn't compromise on a King James Bible. I'm still not compromising on a King James Bible. We all right? If you ain't got a King James Bible, throw it in the trash, come see me, and I'll get you a real one. We all right? Listen, I wouldn't compromise on women preachers. God ain't never called a woman to preach. We okay? I ain't compromised on, but they got mad, they got upset, and they lied about me, turned on, but you know what? Hey, I just went back, friend, and I found myself back in the prayer closet, back in the study, back in the house of God. You just got to go back, friend. Go back in spite of the hostiles. So what if they kill you? Paul said, be absent of the body, be present with the Lord. I mean, woo-hoo, I get to go to heaven. Now listen, I'm not being super spiritual. Don't think it this way, but listen to me. I'm not trying to die. I mean, don't get nervous. I mean, I know some folks are a lot more spiritual than me, but I want to live a while. If the Lord let me live to 100, it ain't never going to happen. But if he let me get to 100 and watch my babies and grandbabies and great-grandbabies, I love that. I mean, I love it. But I'm going to tell you this, I'm not worried about dying either. We all right? I mean, there's been many a times I've stood at the door of a threshold going out to find somebody that's pretty rough, pretty mean. I wasn't worried about dying, friend. I wasn't worried about all of that. Listen to me. I got a hope to come. Even though there's hostiles, you've got to go back. Amen. Let me say this. Go back cause the hostile or inspire the hostile. Let me just say this. I'm probably going to just, if it's all right and the pastor don't set me down, I'm just going to hunker down right here. Go back in spite of the hurt. Now, I want you to think about Paul. Now, brother, they've stoned Paul, and they thought he was dead. And I think sometimes we don't get a biblical picture, and I'm not telling you to look nothing up, but if you'll do some studying on what a stoning was, that was not a little old easy thing. I mean, friend, it was violent. And we got youngins in here, and I'm not going to get into it much. I'm talking about big rocks thrown at people. It's violent. It's gruesome. I mean, people got hurt. Things happen to people when they do that. I mean, it's an awful time. And matter of fact, look over there with me in verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, so now he's been stoned, and here comes all the brethren, and they're just standing around him, looking at him. I can hear it now. Oh, Paul. Oh, Paul was a good one. Oh, Paul. Oh, man, Paul. Here's old Paul. He just gets up. He just takes his old rag, gets the blood off his face. Puts it out of his mouth, wipes his head off, cleans himself up. Come on, boys, we got to go. And he just goes back. You don't think he was hurting? You don't think it bothered him? Let me just say this. That's a physical hurt, but what about emotional hurt? Preacher, have you ever thought this is the same Paul that wrote that he'd want to be accursed if the Jews would get right? He said, I wish I'd die and go to hell as long as the Jews would get saved. And there's the same Jews that he's trying to win, and the same Jews that he wants to see saved, and the same Jews that he'd wish he'd die and go to hell for had followed him out of the city, stoned him, and left him for dead. Do you think that broke his heart a little bit? Oh, but thank God he just went back. Now listen, I'm going to preach a moment, and if we get mad, we just get mad, but it'll be okay. I'm going to tell you what I've saw. I ain't pastored long, but I've saw enough of this, what I hear all the time. Well, I don't want to go to church. I've got hurt. Well, so-and-so hurt me. So-and-so hurt me. Can I say something to you? Get in line. Please don't take this the wrong way. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I really ain't. But so have I. And I wish Miss Jan was here. Because, man, Miss Jan's got away. I'll never forget I was pastoring. Okay, I was pastoring. Can I walk a little bit like this? I was pastoring. Starting to get ready to pastor Southside Baptist Church. Brother Allen called me over for breakfast. Miss Jan said this. She said, I'm making 10 loin biscuits and gravy. I'm not sure what Brother Allen said, but I was there after that. Amen. So I got there. It was a setup. Every night it wasn't. I'm just kidding. So I get there. We're sitting there. And you was with us. And Brother, we was all talking, him hollering around. I'm just going to be honest with you. I wouldn't give a straight answer. I knew what God wanted to do. I'll just be honest with you. I didn't want to do it. I'll be straight with you about it. I was done pastoring and doing. I'd just soon sat on a pew, and if he wanted me to clean toilets, I was going to clean toilets. If he wanted me to wash a van, I was going to wash a van. I was just happy to be right there. Well, let me tell you what happened. Miss Jan just hits you right in the nail, right on the head, you know. She said, son, what are you worried about? What you worried about going? I figured out pretty quick you wasn't going to fool her. And I looked over at her, I said, Miss Jan, I'll be honest with you. I can get over being hurt, but I watched that place tire my wife in two. And I watched my youngins tire. And I'm going to tell you something, it's real hard, listen to me, it's real hard when you're trying to pour your life into a bunch of people and they turn around and just scald your wife. And you walk out of the thing, nobody calls and checks, your little boy's crying, and you don't know what to tell him to do, and you're just trying to go faithful. And listen, I'm going to be real, I wanted to quit that day. Am I okay? Lord wouldn't let me, so every month and a half, I just went back to try to do what I thought God wanted me to do, and it just got worse and it got worse. I'm talking about, I got to church one day, there was a letter on the door, hey, for me, this blistering my whole family. It's wonderful. And I told Miss Jan, I said, I'll just be honest with you, Miss Jan. I don't want to do that again. So I'm going to be straight with you. I don't want to do that again. And she's pretty smart because while she's handing me a piece of big old tenderloin, this is what she said. Now listen, this is what she says to me. She said, honey, I can't promise you ain't going to get hurt. She said, as a matter of fact, you are. You remember this. She says, you are going to get hurt. But she said, it's the best life you'll ever live if you'll just do it. She said, you're going to get hurt. It ain't going to be the easiest thing in the world. And I ain't going to tell you why I think, but it's worth it if you'll just do it. Let me tell you what Miss Jan was saying. Suck it up and just go back. That's really what she's saying. I know you've been hurt, and I know things ain't went how you thought they supposed to go, and I know you've prayed about it, and God didn't answer how you thought God was supposed to answer. But let me tell you something. He's God. We're not. Amen? And listen, he just go back. I know your feelings is hurt, and listen, maybe you've messed up, and you think somebody's looking at you funny. Look up in here. They've all messed up, too. They've all got stuff in the closet, too. But you've got to go back. You can't just sit there on the sideline. Hey, listen, if Paul didn't go back, these folks going to die and go to hell. You've just got to go back. I know you're hurting. I know they've tore your heart out. But you've got to go back. I mean, Paul physically was hurt. I honestly, Lord, I think emotionally he was hurt. But listen to me, he just had to go back. This morning, listen, whatever is holding you back out of the prayer closet, I really think that's where we miss it, Pastor. We can come to church and sit on the church pew, and we can fake it till we make it. I was in church for a while, Brother Jackie, and I'm going to tell you something, man. I was so far gone. I was at church every Sunday morning. I was so far gone. Gone. I'm going to be honest with you. I hate to admit to y'all, but I'll be honest with you. Brother Hislop come in about, let's see, maybe the right before COVID hit, end of 19, first of 20. And we was going through a spiritual battle, me and Miss Megan, we was fighting it. And I remember coming to church, and I was excited to hear him. Can I be honest with you? Somebody done something aggravated me, not here, but just life. And I remember getting in the car thinking, I have no idea what that man said. I was here, and I had my suit on, and I smiled at the preacher, but son, I was gone. I let hurt keep me from getting a blessing. I let hurt keep me from getting what I needed to go on for God. I mean, he preached a message. There ain't no doubt I could have got help from it. I don't know what he preached on, but it was out of this book, and you find help in that book. Hurt. Hey, hurt kept me from going back. I'm going to tell you what I had to decide, hurt or no hurt. I mean, listen, heck or high water, I was just going to go back. Listen, I know they've hurt you. I know you're disappointed. I know you don't feel like going on, but listen, just go back. He's talking about praising a while ago. I find nowhere in the Bible that's connected to your emotion, how you feel. Just do it. Well, I don't feel like praising. I've had a bad day. Just go back and do it. Just tell him thank you. Raise your hand one time. Shout one time. Say amen one time. You say why? Because you just got to go back. I know you're hurting, but you got to go back. Let me give you a couple more, and I'm going to be done. You better go back in spite of the hostiles. Go back in spite of the hurt. But listen to this. You better go back for the hesitant. Can you imagine what that would have been like to be them disciples standing around him? You've just watched a man of the faith preaching the same thing you're trying to help him preach. They've just drug him outside and killed him with a bunch of rocks. I mean, that makes me want to sign up and do that again. If you believe that, you're more spiritual than me. Listen, we throw a lot of stones at them disciples when they got close to the cross. They took off and running. But let me be honest. You'd probably had to catch me. We all right? About time them cat of nine tails come out and I watched all them crucifix. I walked into Rome and I saw all that crucifixion stuff. That probably scared me. And I'm gonna be honest with you, if me and my preacher's out somewhere, first off, I carry something on me that'll fix if they come after us. Somebody say amen. Like them young boys say, I took the pipe. Somebody say amen. But now listen, if I'd watch him go to a meeting somewhere and they beat him, stone him, mess him up, I'm going to be pretty hesitant about going on doing that again. But I'm going to ask you this, what if you've been saved 6 months? I mean, what if you're down there in Iconium and you're part of that half of that city that got saved? And then you just heard they've killed Paul. They've stoned him to death. Them Jews got him and stoned him to death. I mean, you're going to be real hesitant to go out there and be a Christian real loud, ain't you? I mean, you ain't got a whole lot of faith anyway. You've just been saved. I mean, all you know is you ain't got to go to hell. You've got no doctrines, no promises. And back then, they didn't even have a whole Bible to hold up on. I mean, they just don't have what they got. And I'm telling you, they're going to be hesitant. Oh, but Paul, in spite of the hostiles, in spite of the hurt, went back for the hesitant. Can I say something to you this morning? There may be some enemies, and there may be some hurt, but there's folks in your family that need you to come back. There's folks at your workplace that just need you to come back. I mean, they might be saved, but they ain't real strong in the faith. I mean, they're new, they're babes in this thing. Can I tell you something? I wish he was here. I'd bring him back up here. But little old Grant, he ain't but 11, but when he was little, I watched after him a lot more than he is now, but I still got to protect him. There's still certain things I do for him. And I think about Sadie. Boy, that little girl, she's going to be the death of me, but she's just too much like her daddy. Somebody pray for her. But here's the thing about her. I got to do everything for her. She ain't going to know what to do if daddy ain't there. She ain't going to know what to do if mama ain't there. I mean, she wakes up in the night if we ain't there. She starts saying, mama, 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 and comes running. Can I say something? She just don't know. And there's baby Christians out here. You've witnessed to them. You've went soul winning. You give them the gospel. God has saved them. Because God saved them, persecution has arisen. And man, you found yourself hurt. You found yourself in the midst of the enemy. You found yourself with problems. But if you don't get back, what's going to happen to those hesitant? Here's what's going to happen. They're going to follow the sign. I'm going to say this. And I'm going to go on. I played a lot of ball in my day. And honestly, with football, I was fairly decent at it. And I noticed there was times, there's just some men that are just natural leaders. And I don't know what it is. There's just some people, man, that when the back's against the wall and there's no way to win this thing, there's just something about them. They come to the table, and man, they persuade everybody that this game is really ours, and somehow we're going to win, and somehow we're going to come back, and everybody around them rallies around that person. We need some of those in our Christian life. Think about your heroes. What are you going to do if your Christian heroes just don't come back? What would you do if your pastor just decided, I ain't coming back? Brother Allen just folded in the towel and said, I'm not coming back. Can I say something to you? I want everybody that's got babies just to stop looking at them babies. And what are they going to do if you don't come back? You're somebody's Christian hero. There's somebody watching you. And they don't know all how to do this Christian walk. They ain't got it all figured out. And let's be honest with you, we ain't got it all figured out. But I know this. Hey, we're just to keep on keeping on. You hear me? They ain't no time to stop. Ain't no time to pull back. And I know it's hard. And I know it hurts. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes it just plain old stinks. You know what I mean? When things go wrong. But these folks, friend, that need somebody, hey, to stand in the gap, somebody just to keep going. Listen to me. You've got to go back, friend. I say go back through the the hostile and go back through the pain, but go back for the hesitant. But let me just say this, you better go back for the hopeless. I look back in verse 1 of chapter 14, and I want you to see something. About halfway through that verse toward the end, it says that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, they believed. You see that? That's how you get saved, believing. Amen goes right there. You get saved by believing. Now look at verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews. Uh-oh, there's two crowds. Can I say something? And I want you to look down there in verse 4. But the multitude of the city, that means everybody in the city was divided. Part had with the Jews, the unbelieving, and part with the apostles, the believing. There's two groups of people right here. And I say something to you, you better go back for the hopeless. There's a half a city right here. If Paul don't go back, they ain't getting the gospel. If Paul don't go back, they ain't seeing the power of God move in their life. If Paul don't go back, listen, there's a half a city going to die and go to hell. And I say something to you this morning. Hell's still real today. We don't talk about it enough. We like to think about heaven and how wonderful heaven's going to be. And I tell you something, hell's going to be right the opposite of it. As wonderful as heaven's going to be, hell's going to be that awful. And there's a group of people dying and going to hell every day. Listen to me. As we're here today, I wish I had the stats. They're ticking off. Brother Bass, they're just ticking off, and they're in hell. And once you get to hell, in case there's anybody stuck in here, a little Catholic up in here, there ain't no purgatory. We ain't Mormons. You ain't going to get prayed out of it. You ain't going to get purged, end up getting to heaven. If you listen to me, that rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, and if we can see today, he's still in hell. And if you ever spend one fraction of a second in hell, that's where you're going to be, is in hell. And you think, well, I can't wait to get out for the white throne judgment. I'll get some relief. No, you won't. You'd rather be back in hell than stand in front of a mighty, thrice holy God, and you know you're dirty and sinful and get the judgment of God after you stepped on the blood of Jesus and wouldn't get saved. There's a half of people that's going to die and go to hell. Listen to me. There's people in your life that's absolutely going to die, and they're going to step off into hell. I went to y'all know how law enforcement is. If there's a policeman dies, everybody and their brother goes. I'm not against that. That's how it is. Don't let them do that to me. Bring me somewhere, preach the gospel 3 or 4 times. Don't do all that law enforcement stuff. Sing victory in Jesus, and I'm on the winning side. Preach like a wild man and let this put me in the ground. I ain't worried about it. Somebody say amen. It's just a job anyway. If I could find a better paying job, hint, hint, I'd go. Somebody say amen. I'm just kidding. Well, we went to this funeral. And I tell you something bothered me. We're getting there. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but if it makes somebody mad in the internet land, it's okay. They get there, they're ready to go. The pastor, one of the preachers, walks in, and he looks mad. I mean, he really did. And I thought to myself, I looked at Brother Danny Dillard and said this. I said, he ought to smile a little bit. I really did. How about rebuked him for it? And then they played Enter Sandman by Metallica. And he had to preach after that. And I thought to myself, I'd have been mad too. Now listen, these people on this front row right here, this is what they're saying, Brother Jonathan. I can't wait till I see them again. I can't wait till I see them again. I hate to inform you, but I don't think he's in heaven. You know why he's not in heaven? Because didn't nobody tell him about him. Didn't nobody get to it. I lived years of my life out of the will of God, and I very well could have said to him, son, you ought to get saved, and here's the Bible, and here's what the Lord said, but he loves you. It'll have changed his life, it'll change his wife's life, it'll change his baby's life. But man, listen, there's no spirituality in it. Somebody's going to have to go get that crowd. Somebody's going to have to go tell somebody, listen, at your place of business, folks is lost and going to hell. In your family, folks is lost and going to hell. You've got to go back. This thing's serious. We sit around like we think this church thing is just, like we play church. Don't you listen to me. You ought to be in church Sunday morning, you ought to be in church on Sunday night, and you ought to be in church on Wednesday night. But now you listen to me. You ought to be a Christian on Monday morning, and Tuesday morning, and Wednesday morning, and Thursday morning, and if you ain't witnessing or telling somebody about him, what are you doing? You've got to go back. People's really going to a real hell. Can I be honest with you? Well, they won't let me do it at work. How do you know? I failed a lot. But I got a Bible in my patrol car. Folks assigned the back of. I'd lead them to the Lord on the side of the road after a traffic stop. You say, I wouldn't do that. Well, you don't have to, but I did. You better go back. What's the boss man going to say? Who cares what he says? It's going to be pretty good when that guy and we led to the side of the road, traffic stopped, got his meth took off of him, but got him into heaven. He's going to feel pretty good about that. And I walk into heaven. I'm not going to care what the boss man says. You better go back. There's a crowd out here with no hope and they're without God. And if you don't get back, they're going to die and go to hell. You want revival? Get a burden in your heart for souls. Are we okay, Pastor? That's what revival is. It's not about coming to church and shouting. I like to shout. Amen. We shouted Sunday morning, didn't we, Brother Jackie? I mean, we just let her rip for about an hour. Look up, I love all that. I love the running. I mean, I love it when it gets on. I'm going to tell you what, friend. All that's for naught if we're not Monday morning making a difference in somebody's life and Tuesday we'll make a difference in somebody's life. There's a hopeless crowd dying and going to hell, and they might hate you and it might hurt. It might cost you something. It might cost you some things with your family. I'm going to be honest. There's some things that me and Miss Megan just hadn't gotten invited to for a while. We go now, Brother Jonathan. They won't even ask me to pray. You know why? Because I'm going to pray, and about halfway in that prayer, I'm going to get to preaching the gospel. We okay? And they just quit calling on me to pray. They're going to call on that little woman deacon the family wants to have, because she ain't going to pray and say nothing. Somebody say amen. Can I say something? You better go back. You better go back because it's hopeless. Can I give you just one more and I'll be done? You better go back for the honor of God. Now, I said all that, but right here is the motivation. Right here it is. We talked about today, we talked about last night, boy, how good God's been in your life. Does he not deserve you to go back? Paul over there, he commended them unto the Lord. In other words, he went over there, he'd done God's work, and he'd done something, and he built something for God. He honored God with his life is what he did. He poured into other people, and he did it that God might get the glory. Can I say something to you tonight? What's your motivation? You better go back with the motivation for the glory of God. That's really it. Can I be honest with you? I've missed that. I've done that. I've missed it. Many times I've went back because I'm supposed to. I mean, who else is going to preach at the church if I don't show up Sunday morning? Amen? I mean, they're going to be real upset with me. I went back because I'm supposed to. I went back because I ought to. I went back because if I didn't, it hurt Mom and Daddy's feelings or it hurt my pastor's feelings. I just went back. Boy, it's a real good day. Like last night, the Lord cut that light on. And I realized I need to go back in the right motivation. And then we'll tell you something, it's a life-changing event when you'll go on because of the glory of God. This morning, I want you to listen to me this evening. Matter of fact, Miss Tanya, I won't even ask Tina to play tonight, but if you'll come. If you'll go for the glory of God, listen, they're going to hurt you. And there's going to be people that's going to be hostile against you. But these folks dying and going to hell. The future of the church, the hesitant crowd that just don't know, it's not their fault. Listen to me. I don't expect Grant to know the things that I know. He plays football. He plays outside linebacker. I know it sounds crazy, a little skinny thing, an outside linebacker, but he does pretty good. But you know what? I play linebacker. And I learned a few things in college and found I know a little more about it. I understand how to hit a gap and how to run a gap. I understand how to get back and pass. I get all that. He don't quite get it yet. But it's not his fault. He's 11. He's not done it as long as I've done it. I mean, I spent 20-some years of my life doing it. You know what I'm saying? He don't understand it. He's hesitant sometimes to make a play because he just don't understand what's expected of him. And listen, there's Christians that's just been saved for a few weeks, a few months, or a year, and they just don't know what's expected. They're not sure what to do. They know to pray, and they know to read their Bible, but there's so much practical parts of life they're not sure about, and they're trying to look to somebody. They need a Paul in their life to guide them, to disciple them, to show them something. And if you just stop, where's the church going to be in tomorrow? You got to go back. These people dying and going to hell. You got to go back. But let me say this. God needs some glory. The whole reason John 15, you abide in me, and y'all know that I'm the true vine. He said, if you abide in me, I abide in you. You'll pray, and whatever you ask, I'll give this, what this way says. Herein will my Father be glorified. Here's the purpose of it. I abide in him. I go back for him that he might get the glory. And if he gets the glory, you know what happens? If the Lord's raised up, all men will be what? Drawn. The motivation of your service is a big deal. It's a big deal. I think tonight, and I'll be honest with you, it's something I've had to work out, Brother Jack. Had to get on the altar sometime before, and that's why I'd say, Lord, I done that. It was right to do that. But my motivation behind it wasn't. And God, all I'm going to get out of that is my glory. I don't want that. I really don't, brother. I want God to get the glory. I want God to get, you know why? He saved me. I ought to have been in hell with my back broke, with no hope. That's what I deserve. I have messed up more since I've been saved than before I got saved, and he's still faithful to me. We ought to just love him enough to, if it hurts, if there's enemies, if they're hostile, just to go back for the glory of God. I'm telling you what I want to happen. I'm closing right here. This is what I want. We really don't know how long we got. I really do hope the Lord lets me live a long time. But if he don't, that's all right too. But here's what I want. 30 years, Brother Bass, they ought to be an Amazing Grace Baptist Church still sitting right here with a man of God still in the old time way, preaching it right, whether Brother Jonathan and Miss Leslie's here or not. They ought to be somebody to pick it up and take on, but it ain't going to happen if we just don't keep going back. I want to be a Southside Baptist church. Boy, we got real close one time. Them doors getting shut, didn't we? But I'm telling you, friend, I want that to be a church right there in 30 and 40 years. I want my babies to have a church to grow up in that there's truth preached and that Bible people can get saved, friend. And it's not going to happen unless we go back. Preacher, they hurt me. Okay? Go back. Preacher, I'm scared. That's okay. Go back. Preacher, I just don't know. It's just go back. That's what Paul did. Worked out pretty good for him, didn't he? Can I say this right here and I'm done? I really am. Paul, all he did was serve the Lord. He was in shipwreck, on top of shipwreck, out in the water for days. They'd stoned him to death, beat him to death. But you know what? God was always with him. Matter of fact, when everybody else on that boat over in that storm of the Rock of Ladon, everybody else in that boat said this, there's no hope. Paul steps forth and says, be a good cheer. I've been with Jesus. After a long absence, I've been over with him. It's fine, boys, eat something. Let's just go. We're going to wreck, but it's going to be all right. Ain't none of us dying. Be a good cheer. If you'll go back, he'll be with you. If you'll just go back.